and welcome to I Am the Chef.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to I Am the Shift on LifeCoachRadio.com. I'm your co-host, Rebecca Steiner. The other co-host for tonight's show is EJ Joyer. Hi, EJ.
Hi, Rebecca.
And we also have a special guest, Charles Thomas. Hey, Charles.
Hello, Rebecca. How are you?
Charles, I'm wonderful. And yourself?
I am wonderfully well. Thank you.
Great. And Charles is going to be assisting us with callers tonight. So, Charles, whenever you want, just jump in, okay?
Okay. I will do that.
All right. Great. Thanks. So, today's show is Julie Dankovich, founder and facilitator of Prosperity Bootcamp and author of A Course in Prosperity, the Bible for Masters of Prosperity. Welcome, Julie.
Hi, Rebecca Steiner. How are you?
I'm awesome.
It's got such a nice ring to it.
It does, doesn't it? I recently got married. So it's very new and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so glad to be here with you tonight, Julie. All of us are.
Thank you.
Being able to have you share what this work is about and what it can make available to people. I know what it's done in my life. It's been absolutely incredible. And I see what it's done in your life, and that it's just absolutely wonderful that you've been able to pass this on and share this and make this available to others. So I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you right back.
So why don't you tell us how you got started with coaching and prosperity and abundance? Where did you begin with all this work?
Well, I was taking a leadership program through Landmark Education about 4 or 5 years ago. And we had to come up with a project that made a difference for more than 25 people. And I struggled coming up with an idea. And the instructor kept telling me to cast my net a little bit further out, that I wasn't reaching enough people with the ideas that I had. So I was close to quitting the course. I was just frustrated and thought, this course just isn't for me. It sounds like too much work. So he called me once he found out that I wanted to withdraw, and he asked me to look for a project based on something that I knew how to do that nobody else did. And the minute he said it, I knew what it was. It was about creating prosperity easily and effortlessly. And to tell you the truth, I didn't want to share it with people. My ego got in the way, and I thought this was something that I developed on my own. And at the time, I worked really hard at it. I had to totally adjust my routine, and I went at it like a Navy SEAL. And I thought, well, other people should stumble on it on their own as I did. So I got over that in about an hour. And I quickly started drafting like an instruction manual. So I would get 25 people that I would enlist that would be my test group, and I would see if the work worked for them. So that's how it started. My first group had 25 people. Every one of them had a breakthrough of one variety or another. And then I started doing weekly coaching calls, and people from all different kinds of backgrounds, some with absolutely no money, some on welfare, some that, you know, were earning a moderate income but wanted to take it to the next level, just all kinds of people. And so I did the coaching calls for about 2 years and continued to modify the manual to see what worked well and what needed to be taken out. So that's how the book started. And before I finished another type of leadership program, I decided that I would have a face-to-face encounter where I would bring a group of people together at my house and demonstrate the tools and techniques that were outlined in the manual so that when they left, they could actually take these home and start practicing them so that their lives would move forward quickly. So after that first boot camp, that one was actually extraordinary. And it started from there. So we've been doing boot camp since then.
Wow. And I was actually at that boot camp.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So Julie, when I first met you, you were someone who was financially prosperous. You, to me, looked like you had everything together. And you started sharing this work with me. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, it's easy for her. You know, she's always been this way. You're just this highly successful person, and you just got it. And then I learned, you know, over the years that that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And so could you share with the audience your evolvement, your evolution into who you are today versus and when you began this work?
Yeah, absolutely. Back in 1996, I was going through a divorce, and I'd been a stay-at-home mom of two boys. And when my marriage ended, I really had absolutely no clue how I was going to support myself and my two boys. And I was so paralyzed with fear that we were going to end up in some crummy apartment, depressed and struggling. The fear was overwhelming, so much so that it impacted my health. There was a point of time where I couldn't even get out of bed, and I thought, I'm depressed. That's what this is. There was one instance I was driving down the highway, and I was so scared, Rebecca, just scared of my life and not even able to see a future for myself. So I'm driving behind this semi, and I have this thought that goes through my head. I wonder what would happen if I drove under that semi. I wonder if that would hurt. And it wasn't anything that I would have taken action on. It was a thought. But the thought scared me enough that I made an appointment with my doctor. And I thought, I am depressed. I know I am depressed. So I made an appointment with my general practitioner and told him I was just there to get an annual physical. I was embarrassed because I thought I was depressed and I didn't want to speak about it. Felt like a failure. So he finishes up with the exam and says, okay, well, you're fine. Everything's good. Your heart rate's good. We'll see you next year. So he put his hand on the doorknob, and I said, well, there is one thing. I had this thought about driving underneath a semi-truck the other day, and I'm having a hard time getting out of bed. So he took his hand off the doorknob, and he came and sat down across from me. And he said, okay, so how long have you been feeling this way? So I just started talking with him about not being able to get out of bed, and just feeling overwhelmed with sadness. I was going through this divorce, so he prescribed me antidepressants, which I started taking. And he told me they could take 4 to 6 weeks to go into effect and just wait, hold it out. So I started seeing, probably after a week, these little trolls that were running across the floor. I thought, well, that's not good either. So I stopped taking the antidepressants and called my doctor back and said, I can't do that either. Now I really felt like I was going crazy. So he brought me back in and did blood work. And he called me and said, your white blood cell count is dangerously low, and I'm going to refer you to an oncologist. My grandmother had died a few years before that of leukemia. So I thought, oh, my God, now I'm dying. I've got this disease. I haven't even really started my life. I've been sad for so many years, and now my life's over. So I went to see this oncologist. She sat me down. She's a little Indian woman. And she just asked me, what's going on, my child? She was so sweet, so petite, just very soft-spoken and kind. And I just started bawling and told her I was so sad and I was so scared and I didn't want to die. And I knew I probably had leukemia. And so she just tapped my hand and said, there, child. Do you believe in meditation? Have you ever practiced that before? And I thought, what? Meditation? How is that going to save me? I need a blood transfusion or something. So she told me to go home and practice meditation and to come back 2 weeks later and she would retest my blood. So on the drive home, it was a 45-minute drive home. I was living in a small town at the time. So the oncologist was quite a ways away. So I went home after I had that car ride and thought, this is it. I got to do something. I had read all these books for years on the power of the mind. I'd read them all, had boxes of these books. I'd been reading them since I was 20. And I did nothing with them except read them. So I went down to my basement, hauled out the box, and started rereading the books. And then I started practicing the techniques. And that's when I put in this routine, like this killer Navy SEALs routine that I didn't budge from, where it was consistent daily practice of managing my mind and learning how to concentrate so well on what I wanted. And what I wanted was an income. Dear God, give me an income so I can provide for myself and my child, my two children. And it was at that point that I actually discovered my own spirituality. At that time, I really didn't even know if there was a God. I was so disenchanted and so disconnected. So it turns out for me that, you know, I tap into the source of my spirituality and use it in conjunction with the power of my mind, and the sky's the limit after that. You can create anything you want. So that's how it began.
Wow. So what I'm hearing in all of that is that discipline, and, you know, for so many of us, I know for myself, my experience in life before I started doing this work was there was always this unseen hurdle that I couldn't get over. And I would work. So I thought I'd work harder. And I would start to get a glimpse of getting ahead. And then something would come up, a bill, or something bad would happen, something would break. And then I would be right back to where I was again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, can you share with us, how is it, you know, it's not necessarily where I thought, okay, it's working harder, putting discipline in the sense of working and making more and doing better. And how does A Course in Prosperity, how does the Prosperity Boot Camp actually take people like yourself when you, you know, back all those years ago, past that unseen hurdle that we just can't seem to get past,
mm-hmm.
to where we can actually experience something beyond that, beyond financial struggle.
Mm-hmm. It really is like getting a life transfusion. Who I am today, and I continue to evolve. You know, there's still parts of me that will constantly keep evolving. I really did not like who I was. I didn't like the life that I ended up getting. So I reinvented myself. That's really what this work did for me. And so I created a vision board, flipped through magazines, and thought, what do I want my life to look like? Because I was being stopped with roadblocks, not just on a daily basis, it seemed like on an hourly basis. And I was at the point where I had no idea how I was going to pay the electric bill, so I was lighting candles at night after the kids went to bed. I never wanted my kids to know how terrified I was of the reality I thought that we were facing. So my fear was masked in front of them, and when they would go to bed, I would continue on with the work. They knew I was doing something different. They saw the routine that I was keeping. You know, I was going for walks and repeating affirmations. I always had a notebook with me and writing the affirmations. You know, they were playing in the yard, and I would sit with them, and I would close my eyes, and I was in my mind visualizing the future that I wanted. So when you say you get hit with these roadblocks, the good thing is it's like you see this new future that you want for yourself, like who you want to be in the world, the life that you want to have, the things that you want to experience, and the things that you want to have. And you hold that in your mind. And even when the roadblocks come, it doesn't matter. You still keep holding that in your mind, and you generate who you're being if that were actually true for you. So if, for instance, you have no income and you want an income and you set that amount at whatever amount you want to set it at, $50,000, $100,000, or whatever you set it at, you hold that in your mind and you generate from there all your thoughts, all your feelings, how you speak about that, not like, you know, I never have enough money. I never have enough money to pay the bills. The economy is so bad. You monitor every way that you be in life, and that's the way you speak, the way you think, the way you feel, the way you see your future, the way you hold yourself. It really is like a life transfusion. You're getting rid of all the muck that it is that stops you from having what you want.
So one of the things that I keep thinking from an audience perspective is, how do we do that? How do we go from when our reality where we are today in this moment is, I don't make enough money to pay my bills, or I'm sick, or some whatever the circumstances that we don't want, but yet that's what we have. How do we go from that to start to actually visualize and think, okay, this is where I want my life to be, and hold those thoughts and actually have that become our reality?
Okay, so when you feel stuck or dissatisfied in your life, it's a warning sign. And it's not a warning sign that you're broken or there's something wrong with you. It's a warning sign that you're not fulfilling on your purpose or your need for exploration or creation. And we are creative beings. We are here on planet Earth to create whatever we want for ourselves. And we have been gifted with all the creative power that we need to create absolutely anything we want. So everything is always evolving and changing around us, everything. And when you plant a bulb in the ground, you know, you wonder, how does that bulb know how to grow up? Because you can plant the bulb upside down, sideways, and that bulb will still grow up. It's the same way with our souls. That bulb knows in which direction to go, and it knows that it needs to break through the soil to grow even further into the light. And so your soul is no different than that bulb. Your soul needs the exploration and the growth and the expansion in the very same way. And it's why we came here. And the only way to get you there is forcing yourself to be uncomfortable. So it really, there's some intentionality that needs to be put in. So if it's, you know, I've been struggling, I don't know how to jumpstart the process, it's forcing yourself to get out of your head, number one, because it's no good in there. You're flirting with the enemy when you're in your head. And the voices in your head are up to no good. And the voices in your head are not God talking. It's us, right? So you aim with your heart and you steer with your mind. And I'll tell you, if we put the voices in our heads on loudspeaker and broadcasted it, you know, to other people out there with the things that you really say about yourself, you'd be arrested. They'd institutionalize you. And you would never hang out with the people who talk that way to you in the way that you talk to yourself, right? You wouldn't. So get out of your head. That's number one. So if you listen to the voices, you'll never, ever get anything you want. And your feelings are screwing you. So move past your feelings. They're not important. And you will never feel like doing what it takes to achieve whatever it is you really want out of life. The only thing that's really important is what you want to get out of life. So you ask yourself, number one, like you say, what do I do to even jumpstart this process? Number one, what are your dreams? Like what kind of parent do you want to be? What kind of wife or husband do you want to be? What part of life do you want to have thriving? What do you want your income to be? And then you get out of your comfort zone. You turn off the autopilot that most people are functioning at. We're functioning on autopilot. You were born to create, and it's not going to happen in your head. So get out of your head. So if you have the urge to do something and you don't act on that urge, it's like there's a 3 to 5 second rule, and we all have this. We have, you know, an idea. We get inspired about something. Or even, let's take this example. We'll even break it down and keep it simple. You're at a party or at some event, and the band or the DJ is playing this song that you absolutely love. And, you know, you're busting it up at home when you hear this music. You want to get up and dance. But here you are in front of a group of people, and you think, oh, my gosh, I love the song, and you want to get up and dance. So there's the idea, and then your head says, but you're going to look stupid, and you don't know any of these people, so sit back down in the chair so you don't even get out of the chair. It's the same way with your life. That's what we do.
Yeah.
So you've got to act.
And, you know, as you were thank you. That's so great. As you were saying all that, I was thinking, it just it just starts with a little seed, a little bit intentionality, a little bit of, okay, I want this for my life. As little as it is, because I remember when I first started this work, I didn't believe it fully. I don't know if I believed it at all. It was like, oh yeah, okay, I can create my life. I can create prosperity. I can create whatever I say. I didn't believe it. But there was a willingness in me to explore that. There was a willingness to say, okay, maybe this is possible. What do I need to do? Just the littlest baby steps. And then from there, I've just expanded and expanded. So that's what I'm really getting out of what you said, is just having that intentionality and getting yourself out of the way. It's like, oh, that's not going to work. I'm not even going to try. No, just try it.
To transform your finances takes a whole lot of courage, and it takes commitment, strength, and then you hit it on the head, a willingness to experience something brand new for yourself, brand new. And so you've been living your whole life in a certain way, and if you're not thriving in all areas of life, all that means is there's nothing wrong with you. All there is to do is create something new for yourself. And the only way to do that, the only way that I know how to do that, is with pure intentionality. And you have to have a routine. Because whatever you put your focus on is precisely what you create in your life. You know, we run around like victims, like the economy's so bad, or I hate my job, my boss is so nasty. And, you know, if I ever went to college, maybe I'd be able to get a job. That's all hooey. It's all bunk. None of that is true. You can create absolutely anything you want. The only issue that you've really experienced is the inability to manage your mind. It all starts in the mind. So that would be the first recommendation, Rebecca, and you know that. It's like you got to get a handle on your mind, and the first step is to know how your mind operates. Our mind operates. Go ahead.
Good, no, you finished it.
Oh, I was going to move on to something else, so go ahead. I might even go in a whole new direction.
You know, that the you said something during the opening about that you read all the books from age 20. And, you know, from my experience, with this work that you do, and you know, being a part of the team, you just triggered an awareness that I don't know that I have asked you this question before, but it certainly has been on my mind, and it certainly has been as a part of the shares when I'm in my communities and talking about this work. That what is it about these boot camps that seem to provide a quiet spot for your mind to even hear itself?
It's a good question. Yeah.
You know, because people have an experience when they're in their life and they're like they're drowning in some of these things. You know, but when the first time I was in the middle of a boot camp, I was astounded by the quiet in the room.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
You know, here's what I think about that, because it really is one of those moments where you go, wow. And everyone in the group experiences it. That's what's so amazing. My take on that, EJ, is when you gather a group of like-minded people together and you're all focusing on, you know, doing something different in your life, and the work that we do incorporates all the best disciplines that are out there and all the best tools and techniques of all the best disciplines that are out there. So when you're talking about brain science, psychology, and metaphysics and spirituality. It incorporates everything that it is to be a human being. And you get down to, like, you strip all of that away about what it is to be a human being, because being a human being is not an easy thing to be. So you strip all that away and you get to, why are we here? What is our purpose? What is our mission here? And that really is the point in the boot camp where it gets still. Because people, human beings, don't take the time to think about things like that, to really pause and think about, what am I doing here? Is this all there is to life? Sometimes I feel like I should go in this direction, but I'm too scared. You know, it's like their humanity starts running the show then. And then their soul has no space to have a say-so on anything. We forget that we are spiritual in nature and we're living in a human body with a human brain, and the human brain is what makes everything fall to crap most of the time. That's why it's pivotal. That's where the magic is with this work. We get that we're human beings and we're in a human body with a human brain. Okay, we've been operating from there our whole lives, and it ain't working. So once you peel all that away and you realize, I am a divine soul, a powerhouse living in this human body, and I've been gifted with this human brain that has creative power, and if I let my soul direct me using that mind power, that's how you create heaven on earth for yourself. It's like a combination of all the best things here. And when you pepper that with all the things that we are intended to experience here, like once you get to, why are we here on planet Earth? We're here to cause and experience unspeakable love and joy and forgiveness and compassion. And those are part of your creative tools as well. We have so many creative tools in our tool belt, and we don't use them. We end up getting bitter and angry and pissed off at life because things don't go our way. And that's why our lives look the way they do. But if you become intentional with how loving you are, how forgiving you are, how compassionate you are, and you focus your mind on something, the sky is the limit. You can have whatever you want. That's really the magic of the program. It's finding out, oh my God, I've been living like a human being my whole life. And now I'm, you know, going on my fourth marriage, and I drink too much, and my kids hate me, and, you know, I can't stand my parents, and I'm, you know, filing bankruptcy, and my car never works. Duh, you've been living like a human being. And we all go there at times, but we're far, far, far more than that, and we forget, because when we're born here, our ethereal memories are wiped clean. We're here to have a brand new experience. And so God gives us free will and says, go to planet Earth, create whatever you want. You have free will to do whatever you want. I've given you all these creative capabilities. And the funny part is, that's part of the journey, is remembering who we are, who we really are, and where we really come from, and using our creative capabilities to make a difference here.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yes.
Hey, I have another thing that I'd really like to poke at you a little bit.
Okay.
I heard recently that your training in this work really started when you were born because of who your father is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had the pleasure of interacting with you and with your father toward the last period of his life, but I had absolutely no idea what a powerhouse he has been in this world with this work. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. You prayed over my dad on his deathbed. That was such a gift. So my dad passed away in May of this year. And he started in 1967, so I was just 3 years old. He had his own TV show called Careers Unlimited in Chicago. And he invited W. Clement Stone to be a guest on his TV show. And W. Clement Stone is a philanthropist and a new thought, book author. Really great guy. Also Napoleon Hill, they were affiliated. So years later, after meeting W. Clement Stone, my father was a college professor at Purdue, and he was studying all this material on positive mental attitude, and the acronym was PMA. So when my dad was in our house when we were a kid, he was always saying, PMA. And, you know, sometimes when we would get mad at our dad, my brother would say, oh, Dad, where's the PMA? Where's your positive mental attitude? Anyway, so my father decided he wanted to do something big in the world. He wanted to really bring the philosophy and the teachings of Napoleon Hill, that's who my father studied for a lot of years. He wanted to, like, create this foundation at Purdue's campus, the Calumet campus. So he reached out to W. Clement Stone, who eventually funded it, and it still exists today, and it's got a library there. It's the Napoleon Hill Library, and now they train these leaders to lead the positive mental attitude classes throughout the world. But my dad was one of the first certified instructors of Napoleon Hill's philosophy, and he helped train other leaders to lead this work. Yeah, and so the interesting thing about it is my father retired from Purdue 15 or 20 years ago, and I'm 48, so when he was doing this work, I was, you know, preteen and a teenager, and then I had moved far away, and my dad didn't share about it a lot. I knew when I was a kid, PMA, I knew what that meant, and I knew my dad was just this incredible human being, just, you know, an inspiration. He just role modeled, you know, positivity and love and compassion and humor and creativity all over the place. So he didn't just speak it, he lived it. So that was my example. And it wasn't until, you know, a couple of weeks before he died that I started learning all of this stuff about him when he started sharing it. So for me, it's been incredible. And since he's died, his whole dying experience was just one of the best gifts I've ever had in my whole life. And so we created when he was dying, because he really was afraid. He'd been dealing with health issues for many, many years. And when it came time for him to die, he didn't want to, because he loved living so much. So he's just crying after we had brought hospice in, and I'm crying with him. And he was so full of fear because he really didn't know where he was going. And so we started creating that. What's it going to be like on the other side? Well, you'll close your eyes here and you'll open them there. And you'll have these wildly creative powers. You know, whatever you want to experience, you just hold that in your thought and poof, there it is. You'll experience it immediately. And it's no different than us here as human beings on planet Earth. We have the same abilities. Our humanity is what gets in the way, our fear, our self-doubt, our self-loathing, the voices in our head and all of that. So our work here is to get the humanity part out of the way. And that's been the whole experience of my father, like who he's been for me in my life.
That's beautiful.
It is.
And you had no idea. What is just amazing to me is that you had no idea that your dad had started this work so many years ago.
Mm-mm. No, and I mean, that really is mind-blowing, isn't it? Not until 2 weeks before he died, I had no idea that he knew W. Clement Stone and Napoleon Hill, the books that I'd been reading.
Right.
I was 20 years old. I had no idea. And so he told me 2 weeks before he died, I want you to connect with this woman at the Napoleon Hill Foundation. She'll tell you. And I called her a few weeks ago. And I'd forgotten he said that. It wasn't until I was going through some of his things, all of his positive mental attitude, you know, manuals and all the teachings that he had, that I remembered, oh, my gosh, he told me to connect with her, and I didn't do that. So I connected with her within 2 days, and she really filled me in on the whole thing, and I had no idea. I was so proud of my dad. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. But the best thing about it is when my father was dying, the hardest part for me was, you know, like losing the physical part of my dad, right? You know, he's gone, he's not here, I won't be able to, because I talked to my dad a lot. you know, he'd call and I'd see him, and now he's going to be gone. So we created, you know, once I hold you in thought, you'll come to me immediately. You'll be drawn to me in spirit. And that's what he does. So I just think of him, and immediately I get goosebumps from my toes to the top of my head, and I know my dad's here. And then I can just be with my dad.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And as you were sharing all that about your dad, it made me think, you know, we don't know the impact we have on us. We don't think we impact people without, like, if they don't know what we're doing, or we don't say it out loud, or, and here your dad was, being this amazing, magnificent person that he was, he never really spoke about it to you, and yet, look at where, like, look at you, and what, who you have become.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you. I think the biggest gift that my father gave me was knowing that your thoughts and your emotions impact your environment and the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you want to talk about, you know, people out there that really are struggling. They have no idea how they're going to pay, you know, their grocery bill, or, you know, get their kids' shoes or whatever. You take full control of your mental capabilities. Like, you think anything that you hold in thought, you're going to create eventually. So if you consider the thoughts that you've been holding on to, it's no wonder your life looks the way that it does. Well, you begin filling your mind with different thoughts, you know, thoughts of the things you want to have occur for you. And it's all energy, right? Your thoughts are energy. So whatever you hold in thought for periods of time, that's where the consistency of a routine comes in. Because we're human beings and we get busy and we like to multitask. We're so proud of that. Look at how much I can get done. I can do 5 things at once, and that's fine. You know, you can get a lot of stuff done. But if you don't take the time to be intentional with your mind power, you don't create much of anything except more chaos, because you're multitasking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just finding set times during the day. Set your alarm 30 minutes than what you're accustomed to. And the minute it goes off, within 3 seconds, stand straight up. And I will tell you, you will release all resistance to your day. Try it tomorrow. Set your alarm clock for, and you don't even have to set it for 30 minutes earlier. Set your alarm clock, and the minute it goes off, within 3 seconds, get out of that bed. And you will get very acquainted with your activation energy, the energy that it takes to actually take action on something, to have something occur for you in your life.
Wow. So there's a commercial now. We're going to take just a couple minutes pause, or a minute pause for a commercial.
Okay. I'll be here.
Rebecca, can you tell them about the book? I think this will be a good time for that.
A Course in Prosperity. Actually, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask Julie about next, is how does the book, Julie, tie in to all of this? The book, you've shared a lot about routine. You've shared a lot about, you touched a little bit about the boot camp. Can you tell us about the book, A Course in Prosperity?
Sure. The book, actually, it's a 40-day manual. If you do anything consistently for more than 28 days, you learn a new habit. So this actually is 40 days. And there's a reason behind that, and there's a lot of spirituality behind it. The number 40 means a whole lot of things. But the book is essentially every day you're introduced to a new tool, a new way to manage your mind. The first week of the book is getting to know, like, who we are, how we operate, how the brain operates, and then you start getting introduced to, we have these magic wands that we're born with. And they're the magic wands of thought, spoken word, emotion, and imagination. so each day is devoted to a new magic wand in that the second week of the book. And then you begin practicing them. So there's instruction in the book that tells you, I mean, you want to jumpstart your life. This really was my routine that's outlined in the book. It's everything that I did, everything. So every day you're given something new to do, something new to try. And we're all different, right? We're all the same, but we're all different. So whatever tool works for you and you love, because you never want this to seem like work. You want it to be light and fun, and you want to feel good from doing it. So if there's a tool that you're, you know, kind of like, oh gosh, you know, if you have to write affirmations, my hand hurts and I don't want to do this anymore, then try a different tool. But the point is, do something. And it doesn't matter if you know, you can spend an hour doing it in the morning, or you can spend 3 or 4 minutes. But you do that consistently through the day. If you spend three minutes in the morning, another 3 minutes at midday, lunchtime you take another 2 to 3 minutes, and then, you know, 3 o'clock, another 3 minutes, and then maybe, you know, 15 or 20 minutes before you go to bed. Your life will change quickly. You will start to see things show up immediately, and it will blow your mind. That was actually the thing that fueled me to do even more of it. And to really go at it, because at first it took me like a week to get a routine, like, and that was really it. Once things started showing up, you get like you get this surge of excitement, like, oh my gosh, this stuff really does work, and then you want to do more of it because you want more of the good stuff to be drawn to you. So you start focusing your mind on what it is you want, and the book provides you with how to do that. What are the tools? It outlines them, it explains it to you, and it gives you exercises to do, and you pick the ones that you love the most. And it's like magic. I mean, it really leaves you, like, sometimes it takes your breath away, and sometimes you'll just laugh and think, oh my gosh, this is so awesome that it showed up. There were times that, you know, I would go to the store to buy a broom and I'd get out of the car and there's a $20 bill at my feet. Mm-hmm. Or there was another time, this is one of my favorite stories. I was renovating this old house that I bought, and I'm stripping wallpaper. It was an old Victorian house. I must have stripped that wallpaper for over 100 hours. And it was a perfect time for me to work on, you know, disciplining my mind, so I was repeating affirmations, repeating them as I'm stripping this wallpaper. And so I was hanging these shelves in the kitchen, and I had an electric drill. So this was back in 1999 or something. And so my electric drill broke, and I had to go to the hardware store to get a new drill. And I'm thinking, well, I want a cordless drill. I think they have those now, and I'm going to go see how much they are. So I told the kids I'm going to be right back. I'm going to the store to get a new drill. So I get in the car, and I'm driving down the road, and I see this yellow thing in the road, and I pull over. Well, I think this is probably the only instance in my life where I've actually pulled over as I'm driving to see what was in the road. But it was one of those things where I thought, something's in the road. I'm pulling over. I can't believe I'm pulling over. Now I'm getting out of my car. Now I'm walking towards this object. I bend down, and it's a DeWalt cordless drill. And I wanted to do a dance in the middle of the road, and I just ran quickly back to my car. So I thought, I've got this cordless drill that I was going to the hardware store to get. And I drove home and told my boys, and they were like, yeah, so? I'm like, don't you get it? I was going to buy one, and it's in the middle of the road. But those are the things that start to occur for you. Magic.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So you literally took all of these amazing tools and techniques that you've developed and put them all in this beautiful book. How do we get this book?
You can get it on the website, which is www.theprosperitybootcamp.com. Also, if you come to a boot camp, they're available there. And we do have 2 boot camps coming up. We should let everybody know about that. The next one is in Grosse Pointe Park, Michigan, on October 26th. They're always on Saturdays. And then there's another one in November in Illinois, in this great, great little suburb called Sugar Grove. So that one's Saturday, November 9th.
Okay, and we can find out about all this, all the upcoming boot camps, the book, all on the website?
Yes.
Could you say that one more time?
www.theprosperitybootcamp.com. And there's a Facebook page under Prosperity Boot Camp, A Course on Prosperity. You can ask to join the group. We refuse no one. And we post all our updates there. So we'd love to have you in that group. And if you go to the website, you can sign up for our newsletter, and we, you know, post blogs on there and new material. So they can do that as well.
Wonderful. That's so great. So there's a lot of ways to connect to this work.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're really committed to sharing this with everybody. I'm committed that nobody suffers in life anymore. There is no reason to suffer emotionally over your finances or your relationships or your health, not when there's something to be done about it. And the something to be done is to actually feel more joy and love and happiness than you've ever experienced in your life. And it's easy. It's a far easier way to live.
Mm. Yeah. And it's way beyond just finances.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be whatever you want it to be. You know, some people, that's where I started. That's where my desperation came from. So I get that about people. You know, if your money isn't handled, you can't handle anything else in your life because this bleeds into everything.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have money to pay your bills. You're short-tempered with your family, and, you know, you have nasty thoughts about yourself and what a failure you are, and you know, you're holding those thoughts in your head, and then you create more financial breakdowns for yourself. So I always tell people, get your finances handled, and then you can take on the other stuff in your life. Make everything work. That's why we're here.
Absolutely. To have the best life possible.
Yeah.
And we can all have that. It's not...
Yeah.
It's not just reserved for you, Julie Dankovich.
No, it's not. And I'm no different than anyone else. I am not special. I'm no different. I just put a routine together, and that routine didn't move. Even if the weather was bad and I had the flu, it did not move. That's the only thing that may make me a little bit different than some people. And that's something that anybody can start doing.
Yeah.
So do you think the book, and like what would be more beneficial, the book or the boot camp, and how do they work together?
You know, if you don't live close to Michigan or Illinois and, you know, you don't have any money to begin with to get a plane ticket or anything like that to get to a boot camp, then start with the book. The boot camp is really, you know, you can read the book and you do it at your leisure. The boot camp, it's like, man, you get this shot of adrenaline where in one day you radically alter the way that you view life. You radically alter that. And you get the tools and techniques that you can actually go home with. I mean, you start practicing them the minute you walk out the door. In fact, you're practicing them while you're sitting in your chair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. But it really is a type of transformation that has the power to really upset the status quo that you've been living from, to really unseat us from business as usual.
Awesome. Thank you, Julie. Does anybody else have anything?
Well, yeah, I do.
This is... Oh, go ahead, Jamar.
Hello. This is Jamar.
Hi, Jamar.
Hi, Jamar.
Hey, how you doing, Julie?
I'm great. It's so good to hear from you.
It's wonderful to hear from you, too. It's been such a long time.
I know.
But I would definitely be at the next Prosperity Boot Camp.
Awesome. I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you either. And it's so wonderful because just listening to you say so much, I feel like I'm back in class again. And conversations that we had years ago is like flooding through my mind. And I'm so happy now because, you know, for so long I just wanted to just pop up on you and scream, it works. it really works. And it was...
I've heard about you, Jamar. I've been keeping tabs on you, so I hear about how you're doing every now and again, and I'm so happy for you.
Well, meeting you and spending so much time with you and having you invest so much of yourself into me and what was important to me was the thing that made the difference in my life. Ever since then, nothing has ever been the same. And for the first time in my life, I can say that I am living my dream.
Aww,
everything,
man,
that I could possibly want on all the lists that we and you created together, I got all of them, and I have to make more lists. And my family is doing so much better. It's not just me. It's everyone around me.
Aww.
And I just thank you. There's really not even words to describe how much I thank you for allowing my life to be something that's speechless for me now.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Jamar. What a great surprise to hear from you. Thank you. I love you, Jamar.
I love you, too.
Thank
you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, hey. Powerful. But Julie, this is Charles. I have a question for you. This is beyond fascinating. It's inspiring. One of the things I wanted to ask, if do you consciously or explicitly bring into your practice in Prosperity Bootcamp or the book finding some positive psychology, any of your work, the physiology of well-being?
Hold on a second, Charles. I think, does anybody else have him? Is his voice popping all over the place, or is that my phone?
Yes, it
is. I hear that a little myself.
Okay, because I didn't catch the last part of what you said, so if you don't mind.
Oh, okay, surely.
Oh, that's much better.
Did we lose you, Charles?
Oh, maybe we lost him.
Aww. Yeah, it sounds like he's got a
bad... I was waiting on... with bated breath for that question. It sounded so rich. And they're like, oh my God, I'm missing that. What's that word? What was that?
I know.
Oh my God.
I was waiting too. Oh wow.
Charles, are you back? Okay. I think we lost Charles.
Hello?
There he is.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
Okay. Charles, put your question over.
Okay. Yeah, I think my question was so confusing, Skype couldn't handle it anymore. Well, I'll give you a little bit more background. Can you hear me okay now? Am I coming in clearly?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a lot of information that I have seen either explicitly in some of the writings in positive psychology. A new book that I was just made aware of called Love 2.0 by Barbara Fredrickson that speaks to a definition of love that she has coined based on the emotional, physiological, and spiritual connection that people make in the moment. The thing that was a clue to me was when you talked about these 3-second intervals, and the first time, you know, as a definition of a moment, the first time that I heard that was about some research that was going on at the University of Pennsylvania that measured and scientifically established or was able to prove that the most people have a significant response that lasts about 3 seconds. And in this book, Love 2.0, it says that there is a connection of love that lasts in moments, but in establishing the right environment, conditions, that it can be repeated over and over. And much of what you were talking about, to me, implied that. At least I inferred that from what you said. So I just wondered if that was something conscious that you built into your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. This is the one thing that I've learned for myself, Charles, and everything you said is awesome. This happens to me on a daily basis, and I'm no different than any of you, but I think, oh, pick up the phone and call. Or, you know, maybe it's we get irritated with somebody and we think, I'm going to call them. And then if we don't do it right then, we ain't going to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
And it really is. We're here to have our souls evolve. That's our purpose here. And I believe that when we're struck with that inspiration, we have a chance to let our soul come out and play. And too often, we shut the door again, and then we go on being human beings. And you can fake it until you make it. So where you talk about, you know, in the if it's the 2 or the 3 seconds where it's like there's this experience of love, then it could be like a, you know, a doorway or a portal that's been open for love to come out of you. And how often we suppress it, you know, we don't want to look stupid. You know, we don't want to be the first one to say sorry. We have all these things that we make up, and they keep us. They keep us from being the true expression of who we really are.
Yeah.
But you can, like, you can, if you're not very good at expressing your love, you can start practicing that. You don't have to do it with any one person. You can start playing with the energy of love that we all have in our heart. And the energy of love is one of the biggest, most potent creative powers. If you think of people that are in love, I always, you know, thought of Rebecca and Hans and this other couple that I know. When you're in love with somebody, things start going your way fast. Like you're riding this wave, and you're happy. You are happy, man. And even, you know, the nasty clerk at the grocery store can't rock your boat. You're just too happy because you're fueled with love. You know, you're spewing love all over the place.
Yes.
And that's what you attract to you then, is more love.
Yes.
Totally. Well, thank you so much, Julie. This has been a fantastic hour with you. And thank you for sharing all of this, these beautiful tools with us and your book. Again, A Course in Prosperity, available on our website, which is www.theprosperitybootcamp.com. Feel free to register for either of our upcoming boot camps, one on October 26th in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, and followed with November 9th in Illinois. And thank you, EJ. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Jamar.
Yes, thank you so much, everyone.
Oh, my gosh. And we really hope all of you out there found some value in our program tonight. And come back to our next episode and bring any questions you have about money and abundance. We are here to answer those questions. So, again, I'm Rebecca Steiner, and thank you for joining us. Good night.
Good night. Mm-hmm.